From Radio Sausalito in beautiful Sausalito, California, I'm Mitchell Field, and you are on the field trip. Welcome to The Field Trip, a few minutes of conversation each week with some of the most interesting people in the Bay Area and Marin County. I talk to artists and writers, actors, directors, musicians, some of the characters who make the Bay Area a fun and a fabulous place to live. So let's get right to it. My guest on today's Field Trip is Bay Area actor and sound designer Stephen Dietz. Dietz is currently appearing in the Ross Valley Players West Coast premiere production of Journey's End. I've seen Stephen Dietz in many plays, and his performances are always marked by a naturalness and an everyman quality which often remind me of the style of the late Philip Seymour Hoffman. Barry Willis, the theater critic for the Marin Independent Journal, writes about the show, "Stephen Dietz, who also did a spectacular job with sound design, is rock solid in the role of the battle-weary but upbeat Lieutenant Trotter. Journey's End is a play which invokes television's Downton Abbey and Parade's End, and it was originally produced in 1929, starring a young Laurence Olivier, and it's had several revivals, including on Broadway in 2007, where it received 12 Tony nominations. One review of the current production at Ross Valley calls it beautifully paced, brilliantly staged, and perfectly cast, a rare gem. It's set in a dugout for British officers in the trenches in France during World War I, and it's an uplifting and inspiring tale which shows how men awaiting an enemy attack cope courageously against overwhelming odds. Let's find out more about this show. Please welcome to the Field Trip actor and sound designer Stephen Dietz. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you very much.
Well, first, let me congratulate you on a terrific performance in a great show.
It is a great show. It's surprisingly well-written. A lot of things from that time period can come off as quite stagey, or they're an actor's piece or something. But this is a remarkable work, very well-balanced. It's not at all what you might think it could be, which is a dreary war play. It's much more about the characters involved, and it's a delight to do, and audiences, I think, are coming away very surprised by it.
Tell us a bit about your character, Trotter.
Well, my character, Trotter, is a sort of realist. He is one of the officers, and he's a character who's, I guess he's kind of concerned with food. A lot of the byplay between me and the character of Mason, who is the cook, is humorous, and it seems that every time I get to start talking about something serious, I quickly will change on to the subject of eating. That just seems to be what this character is about. There is another character who drinks a bit, and there are other characters who are, well, they all have their idiosyncrasies. They're very individually drawn.
Well, the playwright R.C. Sheriff was actually in the trenches in the First War, right?
Yes, he was, and it shows in this work. There's a remarkable lack of melodrama. There's a lack of heroism in the traditional turn of thing. This is much more about the interrelationship of men, how they feel about one another, as opposed to how one would feel about the war. It's uplifting in its way, and it's as I said, a remarkable piece to both perform and to see.
Well, as you said, the show focuses on the personal relationships between the characters, and it was directed by Jim Dunn, who you've worked with many times in the past. I've had him on the show and talked with him about theatre. What was his take on the play and his instructions to the nine-man cast?
This is a play he's very proud of, and it's a play that he fought hard to be able to do. And I have worked with Jim, as you said, on many shows, and many of them with a military bent. And this particular one, I think he felt more strongly about than I've ever seen him do in any previous play. He did a lot of work with us doing what you would call, I guess, close-up work. A lot of this stuff involves individuals speaking to one another, making eye contact, and a lot more nuance to the acting style to this than has been apparent in some of the other shows he's done, which are much more require much more broad acting than this. This is a very intimate show, and it was really, really fun to work with him doing something of this kind, because it is very different, despite being a military play, and Jim's famous for those. It's very different in style than most of the plays he's done.
Well, it's certainly a perfect cast, something I know that Jim Dunn is known for. When I had him on the show, we agreed that once a show is cast right, it pretty much directs itself. And everyone in your show sure does a good job. You did mention Private Mason. I want to give a shout-out to a young fellow, Sean Gunnell, who plays that role in your show. I've worked with him in the past. He gives a really charming performance as the good-natured Private Mason. Was he fun to work with in that context?
He's very fun to work with. He's an audience pleaser, and his sense of pacing and timing are excellent. His character is designed to liven things up and to make things a little lighter. He does a great job with it.
How did the cast handle the British accents? Did you have a dialect coach?
We did not have a dialect coach, except for Mr. Dunn, who was very responsive to any mispronunciations we might give off and quickly corrected us through the rehearsal process until we were drilled into not saying things in the wrong manner.
Well, we ought to mention and perhaps praise the ingenuity of the set, which was designed by Ron Krempitz. It's one of the few sets that actually has ever used the low overhang of the barn stage to advantage. For people who don't know the barn, it has a very low ceiling. Tell us a bit about the set, Steve.
Well, ordinarily, I've done many shows at the barn, and you're right. The stage is rather high, the ceiling is rather low, and you have what, in effect, is sort of like having to direct a film in Cinerama. It's very, very wide. In this particular show, Ron has done an incredible job of actually integrating the beams of the theater into the set, and that low overhang ceiling is perfect for having this sense of being, basically, it's just a dugout little tunnel that you live in. And the width and the low ceiling work very, very well for it. It's probably one of the most effective sets I've ever seen at that theater.
I agree with you. Now, tell us about sound design for the theater. What does a sound designer actually do?
Well, a sound designer works with the director in coming up with sometimes tunes and sometimes sound effects in order to make the play work or sound a little bit better than it would if there was nothing there at all. In this case, there was a lot of time and preparation to having explosions. The situation that these characters are in involved a lot of distant guns going off, as well as some battles which occur very close. And Jim and I worked very closely together to sort of orchestrate that so that it would never drown out actors when they had to do their speeches, but would be a kind of a constant reminder coming and going within the piece of the fact that the war was present and nearby.
So you also put the music to the show, right?
Jim decided what tunes that he wanted to use at particular times. There were only a few, and we found some old 78 versions of those, which were from the period, and I think they were very effective, used at the appropriate moments within the play, especially the ending.
So you say you found these. Do you have a vast library of sound at home or in an office somewhere?
I have an awful lot of sound effects that I picked up over the years, and there are places you can get them on the internet. There are places you can get them, purchase particular things from different companies. But I have a pretty large library now, and I've purchased some of the royalty-free libraries that are available from the BBC and some of the American companies. I think Warner Electric has one, and some other people here do that as well.
So sound design is an important feature in any show, I guess.
Some more so in some than others, yes. You want to have sound effects that will be efficient and not get in the way. You don't want too much, and occasionally you need certain things like offstage cars driving up and little things like that. Generally, the guns and stuff like that we try to do practically, but there are some sounds that will help the show move along and make it effective.
It sets the mood.
It does. It can very much. Like, I don't know, like the sound of a single cricket at nighttime does an awful lot to make it sound like you're outdoors in the dark,
yeah.
Whereas just making the stage, taking the lights away doesn't always do quite as well at that.
Well, how'd you get into acting?
I was always attracted to it. I did started doing shows on stage in high school, and then in junior college I did quite a bit. And then I came up to the Bay Area and didn't do anything here until 1984 when the College of Marin did Nicholas Nickleby, and it was a play that I had seen on television and really wanted to do. So I went into the cold audition at the college and got in, and I've been doing shows ever since.
Well, I believe that you've got an exciting project coming up soon, right? It's a reprise of a role for you.
Yes. College of Marin will be presenting Jim's famous Western production of Taming of the Shrew. And in that last time that he had done it locally, I played the pedant, which in this new version is a whiskey salesman. So I will once again get to be in the Old West and in the Shakespearean mode. And it's a very, very fun, audience-pleasing play, and I would recommend people to take some time to see it, because it's, even if you're not a Shakespeare fan, it is a remarkable production and very, very entertaining.
It is. I've seen it before, and I saw you in it, and I was very impressed. This is a show that Jim took to the Edinburgh Festival about 30 years ago or more, right?
Right, and he had won Best Show in the Fringe Theater portion of that festival, which was a remarkable feat for an American company doing Shakespeare in the wilds of Scotland. It's pretty awesome that we were able to pull that off.
Well, the show at Ross Valley Players is called Journey's End. It's at the Barn Theater in Ross, California. It continues through February 16, 2014. There's a talk back where the audience gets a chance to talk to the actors after the show. That will be on Sunday, the 9th of February, at the matinee. For more information, you can go to rossvalleyplayers.com. And Steve, continued success to you, and thanks for taking us on a field trip today.
Well, thank you, Mitchell. It's wonderful to be here, and thanks for having me.
That's Stephen Dietz, everyone. Well, thanks for joining me today on The Field Trip. I welcome your views and comments on the show, as well as your suggestions for future guests. My email address is mitchellfield@radiosausalito.org. The theme music you hear behind me is the tune Superjet, with the fabulous Marin sax man Noel Jukes up front. It's from the recording The Noel Jukes Quartet, featuring Matt Clark. Please remember that The Field Trip can be heard Wednesdays at the top of every hour at 1610 on your AM radio dial in Southern Marin, countywide on Wednesdays at noon on cable channel 26, on your computer at radiosausalito.org, or 24 hours a day as a free podcast from the iTunes Store. If you liked today's show, please tell your friends, and if you didn't, well, please tell your enemies. So till next time, this is Mitchell Field saying goodbye, good luck, and see you next week. We'll be right back.